Now Perisic looking to float that cross into Martinez. And Vecino hammers it home. And Inter have the lead inside the opening 3 minutes of the derby. Can he put Inter 3-1 up? Donnarumma waits. Martinez! It's Inter's night at San Siro. Kept his nerve. And the two-goal advantage is restored. And it is bedlam amongst the away fans.
And welcome to another episode of the Serpents of Inter podcast. I'm Matt Clark. Joining me, as always, is Sam Poor from Sweden. And a lot to talk about. I mean, we were going to go a little earlier, but then I think something kind of told us that it would be good to wait until after the Lazio match.
Absolutely.
And we were certainly not disappointed in doing that. So, first off, Sam, let's just jump right in. All things aside, the Lazio match started off with a possibility for Mauro Icardi to return, and then something happened in practice, and Samir Handanovic has a black eye. I don't know if that's coincidental or not, but something I guess to conject about, if you will. But Mauro Icardi out, Lautaro Martinez out. That left our attacking options to three wingers, one of which playing in the center, and it definitely yielded the results that I think everyone expected. And that was little to no offense at all, despite the fact that Inter did dominate possession throughout the first half. And for the most part, I think with the exception of SMS's goal in the 13th minute, I think Inter's defense definitely held true against Lazio and sustained, good challenges from them. But all in all, just in terms of offensive prowess, it was just non-existent. And I'm still struggling to try to figure out why Borja Valero is getting a start here. Maybe there's some rationale to it. Maybe it's just something I don't understand, but I'm just struggling to try to figure out why that was the case.
You and me both, man. To begin with, let's start with Borja Valero, because that's a very important thing to start with. I don't understand why he didn't start with a player like Roberto Gagliardini, so he has a bit more physical presence in the center of the pitch. I think that would be much needed. It will actually take some load off Brozovic and Vecino, and he could have actually learned something from that derby game, because Vecino playing in higher up in the pitch actually helped with the game a lot. So in this case, he put Borja higher up in some sense, and Vecino started lower down the pitch. And the problem with Borja isn't so much that he's a bad player. It's just that the pace of the game is too fast for him. So he just doesn't have the pace to keep up with how Lazio plays or how Inter wants to play, in a sense. And another thing, as you said, like we actually had three wingers as offensive power today, and the problem with that is also that we in a sense we played this game like a one hit pony. Like all we did was to cross the ball in, and the funny thing is that with all the good critiques that we give a player like Milan Skriniar, I would say that this was probably one of his lesser great games. He had actually had that one chance in the first half where he could have scored. That's not on him, but other than that, he didn't do the worst game, but he wasn't one of those solid, as we have been, grown accustomed to see from him. And I thought that D'Ambrosio lacked tremendously in the offense scenario, and that's pretty usual for him. Politano tried, but he never, he didn't get a break, basically, because he shot and he missed and he shot and he missed. A lot of people say that because he obviously does the same thing. You know, he goes, because he's left-footed and plays on the right wing, he always goes in and tries to shoot. That works most of the time for him, so nobody can fault him for that. But today or Sunday, it didn't work. Perisic didn't do a bad game, in my opinion. He was okay. Asamoah did a great game, in my opinion. Brozovic, you know, again, like, we can blame him for some, but the problem is, again, like, he carries so much in the center of the pitch that, you know, every time something happens, you know, it's him, it's on him. You know, you see all the errors, and the problem is that it's because he's the only one who actually can do a lot of these things that that is creative in the central of the pitch. And, you know, Keita Balde, I don't hold him accountable for not being effective enough, because all in all, you know, he came back from an injury, plus he's actually not a regular number nine in a sense. He played
out of position. I mean, I get it, but still, I mean, I think the expectations have got to be tempered a little bit when you have at least one player that's playing out of position, like Keita Balde. So no, I can't levy a lot of blame on him. The decision with Borja Valero, however, I have a real problem with, because, I mean,
totally
you mentioned Roberto Gagliardini, who would have been an option. João Mario would have been an option.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are so many other potentials
starting,
out there that could have filled
up. Even starting with Raja Nainggolan, like, because he came in after all. So, like, start with him and Gagliardini and Brozovic. Then you have the tempo, you have the pace, you have the power, you have the technique. And you know, if you score early goal or whatever, if you want to hold the ball much more, then you can bring in someone like Borja instead of Nainggolan, because Nainggolan maybe is a little bit fatigued and he has been injured and all that. But I think the way Spalletti actually approached this game, I don't know, it's a little bit like he has this loser mentality in some sense, or he's too stubborn for his own good. Like, some things just doesn't click. You know, when Spalletti when all cylinders are clicking for the way Spalletti wants to play, it goes very well. But, you know, when a little thing is lacking, you know, everything just falls down. And to be honest, like, Keita Balde actually held the ball very well when he got the ball. You know, he did some good things. But and another thing I don't understand, like, D'Ambrosio, every time somebody even breathed on him, he just fell. Like, I don't know. There were certain things in the game that I really, really was disappointed in. I didn't like the. I think that lack of character. And plus, Handanovic is someone to highlight as well, because Handanovic did a very good game. He actually saved us a lot of times, because they could score at least two more goals on us if it wasn't for Samir Handanovic. So I think that we should highlight that as well, because he actually did a very good game today.
In all fairness, I think Thomas Strakosha, the goalkeeper for Lazio,
absolutely,
also had a very solid game. And you mentioned, you know, Marcelo Brozovic. I just think towards the latter stage of the match, I think he just played like he knew the game was over.
And that's
unfortunate. Yeah, and that's unfortunate. And you know, to suggest that Lazio is a better team than Inter is false. That is a false. Even with Ciro Immobile, even with SMS, it makes no difference. I think Lazio is a weaker team than Inter is, even with the 11 we fielded on the pitch on Sunday to start. Even without Lautaro Martinez and without Mauro Icardi and without a fully healthy Raja Nainggolan, I think Lazio is a weaker team. Unfortunately, because of the position that we're in, it just meant that our attacking options were so limited. And then after 13 minutes, we're playing from behind, and that's never a fun position to play in. I don't care what sports you're in. And I wonder, you know, we've had these issues since the 1st of February when Icardi, the Icardi issues all came about. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But I think, honestly, I was thinking about this, you know, over the last couple of days, and you know, having these injury problems and having these player issues and suspensions and things like that. Although suspensions weren't an issue this match, but, you know, Stefan de Vrij was out for injury. Mauro Icardi's still sitting. Lautaro Martinez out for injury. Raja Nainggolan not playing at full strength. I don't even know that I would suggest that Keita Balde was playing at full strength either. So we have these issues and we have absolutely no bench to fall back on. And I think that I was kind of just kind of wondering, okay, what is the real problem there? Where does this all stem from? And part of me wants to lay a little bit of responsibility on financial fair play. Now, I'm not suggesting that, you know, first off, financial fair play was Inter's doing, you know, those issues from years ago, overspending, you know, not balancing the books, not having any grasp of mathematics whatsoever in terms of accounting, came back to bite, you know, Inter over the last couple seasons. And what it meant was that the ability to go out and spend not large sums on one player, but sums of money on a group of players, created this issue where now we have a very limited bench. And I know there's some clamoring about how, you know, our U19s are good, and they are. Let's not kid ourselves. Our youth squads are solid. They are very good. And there is the potential that some of those players should be called up and play on the main squad. And there's no reason why that shouldn't be a possibility. And I think it's a little discerning the fact that we've not seen some of these quality youth players come up through the ranks and actually see the pitch for the main team. But there is that possibility. However, you have to really balance that out. You can't thrust an 18 or 19 year old player into an A-League match when they're not ready. And as good as our youth system is, and it is very good, you know, we still have to be very careful about introducing these players too soon. But to circle back, you know, we have this problem where we have a very limited bench, and you could call on the youth to come up and fulfill some of those roles. But honestly, what do you think you're going to get? Exactly. You're going to get a youth mentality player to come out and play in an A-League match against very experienced opposition. So while that is a possibility, I don't know that that is the best option. However, when you think about it, if Inter is limited in the funds they can spend in the transfer window, then that means more than just being able to go splash the cash for one big name to be able to sign a Lionel Messi or an Ivan Rakitic or anyone like that. You know, obviously it limits that, but it also limits the ability of the management to go out and say, okay, we want to try to buy, six players. Not all of them are starters, but some of them could come in and play 45 minutes for us and could be bench players. You know, we lost the ability to do that. And so now we have the situation where if one or two players are out, it transforms the entire match for us, or at least it has the potential to. And we've been fortunate with Lautaro Martinez, who's been able to come in and make an impact in with the loss of Icardi. But still, I think our bench is limited, and I have to trace some of that back to financial fair play and the fact that we have been hampered up until now, we just can't go out and spend, you know, 5 million euro for this player, 3 million euro for this player, 2 million euro for this player, because that all adds up and it counts against us. And those are what some teams do. I mean, if you look at a team like a Liverpool or even a Tottenham Hotspur or Real Madrid or a Barcelona, you know, they have these deep benches of players because they've been able to go out and they've been able to spend small sums of money on multiple players and spread it around. So instead of spending 100 million euro on one player, they're taking 100 million euro and they're buying 10 players. And some of them may go out on loan, some of them may stay with the club. You know, whatever the case may be, they're able to do that. Inter has not been able to do that. So now we have a bench that has just been absolutely decimated and is virtually non-existent. And on the bench, we have players that I don't know that I want to put on the pitch, even if they were healthy.
So you touched on a few points there. First of all, when it comes to the Primavera players or the youth players, whatever you want to call these players, if you want them to grow to become good players, you need to have stability surrounding them, so they can afford to do mistakes and grow from that. So if you depend too much, like, here's the thing: how many Zaniolos do you think you have on that team? Or how, you know, even more extreme, like, how many Messis do you think you have on that team? Probably none. Like, they might be good players, but in order for them to get full advantage from their talent, they actually need some type of stability. Second of all, in order to, like, buy players, you need to have a fundamental, like a central line of players that you build around. So, for an example, in Tottenham Hotspurs, you have Harry Kane, and you have Dele Alli, and you have Christian Eriksen, and Alderweireld, and these players who are the like the fundamentals of what the Spurs are. So, and then you add other players surrounding them, and players like Son, you know, he's very, 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 very fundamental for them, and I would probably say he's one of their best players, and so on and so forth. So you can always build on that, and we lack that a little bit. Like, we don't have a central midfield that we can build around. You know, I can say that yes, Brozovic is a good. He's not the best central midfielder we have, because that's Raja Nainggolan. When, you know, if you compare the peaks of both, but I wouldn't build around him. I think that we lack there. I think Icardi, you know, he probably is a lost case. So Lautaro Martinez is probably one that we should build around. And to be frankly honest, like, we have mismanaged this team so much. Like, Jeffrey Kondogbia came in with a hefty fee. João Mário had a hefty fee. Gabigol had a hefty fee. You know, these players are at best like mediocre players, and they cost massive amounts of money for the club. Like, Sonny, I think has paid over 300 million euros for transfers, and you know, on paper, how many of them are actually performing or even at the club at this point? So that's a huge problem. And to be frankly honest, you know, we can hold Spalletti accountable for some of the mistakes, but I think the biggest accountability it should be held at someone like Asulio, because Asulio is the main guy that should be controlling these types of building teams and stuff. And to be frankly honest, like, when Marotta came, he actually called the bluff in a sense. Like, he actually called everything and told basically, you know, said that this is what's wrong, and publicly we see that now. And so I think that there's a few different things that are the problem, but I don't think that we should depend on just the youth team. I think the mismanagement of this team has been tremendous, like, for so many years now. And I think when next season starts, I think that maybe one or two strong central midfielders are extremely needed. We need wingers. If we're going to play with a three-back system, we need two good wing-backs or backup wing-backs. And as you said, like, we need depth in the squad, because now we got probably like 14 players, 15 players. If we're going to compete for Champions League and the league and probably like a cup, we probably need like 20 players that can rotate more or less, because every time someone and we have actually built some of our success on chance, because we have been lucky that Skriniar hasn't gotten injured, Icardi hasn't gotten injured, because last year if those two were injured, you know, we wouldn't reach fourth place at all. I mean, we have been very, very lucky that these two players have been injury free more or less, and could perform in basically over a whole season. So I think I hold Asulio as the main the individual that has caused most of the problem. Maybe not him by himself, maybe, you know, he miscalculated a lot of things, I don't know, maybe financial fair play has stopped him from, but here's my thing, like, how many years do you gonna fall back on that, saying, oh no, I can't do this transfer because of financial fair play? Well, if you can't do this transfer, maybe you can find good players that doesn't cost like 100 million euros. Maybe you can find a Skriniar or two Skriniars or whatever, like not even on that level, like a little bit lesser level, but players who have some type of character. Because if you look back, like we have gotten players that on paper look very good, but they always lack something. So for me, it has always been a character thing. Like they lack some type of character. Either they're too aggressive or they're too introvert in a sense. Like they go around and couldn't care less. So I think, I don't know if who is responsible for scouting or taking a decision of actually like, these are the players that we should put our money on, but that's the person we should hold most of the blame for the situation that Inter is in now. Because you can make good transfers with lesser money. You know, there's a lot of teams that have shown that is very much possible and be very successful. And to be frankly honest, it's not like we have spent a little money. We have spent a lot of money. Like we have changed our squad so many times throughout the years. Like how many year ones do we need to have before someone actually, you know, takes this seriously? Because I don't know, man. I just think it's become like a parody in a sense. Like we always every summer we get these transfers, and starting February the year after, you know, either half of them are injured or not performing, or you know, somebody's upset because they didn't get the transfer request that they wanted, or you know, this is a problem, my wife is hurt, you know, my dog died, something is always wrong. Like nobody can take it's like it, they all like it, act like spoiled little brats in a sense. That's my take anyways.
Well, and here's the thing, and after this I'll close out and move on to something else, but I think what we have to consider is the strategy has always been, and it's been for teams for years, and that is bringing in a big name puts butts in the seats, and it creates revenue, and it creates revenue for merchandising, it creates revenue for ticket sales, it creates revenue for all sorts of things. So when you sign a big name like a Cristiano Ronaldo, tell me how much Juventus's income has gone up by that. So the conventional wisdom has always been, okay, if we bring in a big player, a big name, and spend a lot of money, we're going to recoup that investment in jersey sales and tickets and this, that, and the other. But what we're losing sight of is that when you spend that much money on one player, you're pretty much heavily reliant on that one player to actually perform. And when they don't perform, then you have a big problem. So instead of having this mantra that we need to have a big name to come in and be a world beater, you know, that may be fine, but we need to consider the lifetime of our bench and of our team here. And if we have aging players, like Borja Valero is not going to be playing much longer.
No.
I mean, God love him. I think his spirit is there. I think he tries his best, and I think his best years are behind him.
Yep.
So is it worth going out and trying to find a central midfielder and spend 50 million euro
yes.
on a central midfielder? Or is it better to say, okay, let's take that same 50 million and try to find maybe three midfielders and bolster up the bench? And I think that, you know, that's just one thing that you have to consider when you're playing this very delicate game of transfers and balancing that out with money. And in all honesty, you know, these things date all the way back to the Marotti years, and are just been inherited by Suning. And I can tell you one thing for now, if Suning conducts business with Inter the way they do with their other business entities, this is not going to be a club that is going to have 250 or 300 million euro to spend in the summer. It's just not going to happen. Suning wants this club to be a profitable entity. They want it to be a profitable business, and you are not a profitable business unless you are, and go out and spend 300 million euro unless you are Liverpool, unless you are Manchester City, unless you're Real Madrid, or unless you're Barcelona. And Inter is not that squad anymore.
Can I just add something to that? You know,
sure.
it just hit me something that if I can continue on that path, like something to recognize is that in order for it to be a profitable business in a sense, even for Suning or even for the club, you actually need to invest as well. Because if you look at Manchester City, Manchester City isn't actually the giants of Manchester. It's actually Manchester United. You know, they're the small younger brother to Manchester United. They have, in the last years, become this powerhouse entity in the sense because of the investments that its owner has done. Same thing goes for a club like Paris Saint-Germain, because that's a prime example of that. Sure, you know, you can call it economic doping in a sense, like it's just a owner who just pumps in money in the club. But if you want the club to grow, you need to put, like, that's what Milan is doing right now. You know, they even when UEFA gave them this transfer limits or whatever it was, and they took UEFA to court and won because the court actually stated that the new owners of Milan are actually serious and has the funds and the means to carry this club, so it was revoked. And same thing should be for businessmen who sits in the boardroom of Suning, like if they actually want this club to grow, because the market is there. It's not like Inter is a small club or has a small fan base or is a small brand in a sense. It's one of the bigger ones in the world, actually. So in order for it to grow even further, in order for it to become this powerhouse entity, you need to feed it. Like it's like any other business. Like if you have five, if you put $1 in your business and you get back $2, some might take that out, that $2, and live happy. Some others might put the $2 back in to make it grow even more and more and more and more. So I think it would be a good thing for Suning also to you know, keep pushing, like keep making these sponsor deals, keep, you know. So for an example, Pirelli is, we should renegotiate that deal or change it because Pirelli doesn't pay that much for being on that spot on the shirt. So that's a revenue that they can look at. You know, getting more money in the club is actually good for them also. It's good for their brand. It's good for business. It's good for everything. So I just want to highlight that also, that investing or putting money into the business isn't such a bad deal if you look like for a 10-year plan or whatever.
All right, he's Sam Poor, I'm Matt Clark. We're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we've got more to talk about. I'm going to start off on a good note, then I'm going to drop it down quite a bit. So, and then we'll also talk a little bit about Wednesday's match with Genoa. So you're listening to the Serpents of Inter podcast on the SB Nation. So thank you for listening, and we'll be right back. And welcome back here to the Serpents of Inter podcast. I'm Matt Clark, site manager for Serpents of Matadena, and he is Sam Poor, my partner in crime, if you will. And you know, we talk about, you know, we talked about Lazio. We dove pretty deeply into you know, the bench issues. One thing I want to do before I go off on my tangent, and I warn you ahead of time, I am going to go off on a tangent, so I just be forewarned, I want to highlight one thing within the Inter organization that I think gets very little, if no, recognition whatsoever, and I think it's kind of a travesty that we don't pay more attention to it, and that is the Inter Milan women. Now, I know it's not necessarily a real popular machismo thing to talk about women playing football, simply because unless you're here in the United States and you follow the women's national team, anywhere else is kind of, yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. But, you know, when you look at Inter's women, and I've written about them a couple times and hope to write about them even more. Just recently, you know, the Inter women, first off, let me back up by saying this is the first year Inter has fielded a women's team that has played with FIGC, and they are in Serie B, and they have kicked off this season like gangbusters. They won 17 out of 17. That's winning 17 out of 17. That's not going without a loss. That is winning 17 out of That is what Sebastian De La Fuente has done with this squad is unbelievable. You've got players like Gloria Marinelli, Alicia Rognone, and many others. And I wish I could, Marta Pandini. You've got Beatrice Merlot. You've got, so many names in there that go completely overlooked. And I'm not sure if it's because it's a women's team or what it is. Regina Barisi, probably one of my, I follow her on Twitter and I love her personality to death. And she's a fantastic player, and is all about the team and what they've done. In 17 matches with six to go, they have already secured promotion to Serie A next season. With six matches left to go,
amazing.
I believe there may even be more than that. I'm not really sure, but they have already secured promotion after a 6-0 win over Arezzo on Sunday. And this team has done it under the radar. They're not flashy. They're not flamboyant. I'll be honest with you. There's, I would venture a guess that the lowest paid player on Inter's A team is making more than any of these women are playing, doing the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
And that in itself is a travesty. It is sad. I'm not suggesting that there is a woman player out there worth 100 million euro, but to see what this team has done on the field and the way they have done it and the way they have presented themselves and how they have gone about their business, to me, is a model for any other team, not just in Serie A and not just for women, but I think for men as well. I mean, Gloria Marinelli is the anchor of the team, but they are able to spread the ball around. They have just absolutely made their opponents look foolish. And in all honesty, I don't care that Juventus's women played in front of a record crowd of what, 15,000 people, which is just sad. It's sad when you tout that. It is just sad when you say it's a record number of people and it's 15,000 people in Juventus's stadium. I don't think that's bragging. I think that's pitiful. I don't understand why more people don't go out and support this and say, wow, this is actually a really good product. And not all the teams are great. Okay. There are some dogs in Serie A and in Serie B when it comes to women's football. There are some dogs. There are some teams that you wonder, why are you even here? But when you see a team like Inter take the pitch, to me, I kind of get amped about that. I kind of get excited about that because of how good they are. And I'm excited to see what they do in Serie A next season with this same group of women, because I think their potential is limitless. And I'll tell you, I don't know if any of them listen, but or if anyone with a club listens, but if they do, kudos, hats off. What they have done in 17 matches in their infancy is something the likes of which has probably not been seen on any level anywhere else. And they are to be commended. I took a lot of time to talk about that, but I don't care. They are to be commended for what they've done, and I think it is a travesty that we go and not take notice of what ASD has done on the pitch. So there's one rant. Now I'm going to move on to my second rant, and this is all I warned you ahead of time it was happening. I posted an article up today, an editorial about the issues between Luciano Spalletti and Mauro Icardi. And I'll be honest with you, it makes, as an Inter fan, as a site manager for a site that covers Inter Milan, I hurt. I don't think there's any other way to say it. I think, I may be in a minority, but honestly, what I see, not on our site, and I do want to, I did it in the piece, and I want to do it here. The community of Serpents of Matadena is a great community. I don't know how many there are. I know that we get tons of comments on stories and things like that, which is great. So I don't know how many people are active members of the community, and it doesn't matter. The fact is that those people that are active have conducted themselves accordingly when faced with drama, the likes of which we've seen over the last 2 months, and they are to be commended for that. Because I've seen other sites, I've seen other, either Italian sites or English sites that have followed the drama between Icardi, the club, and Spalletti, a lot more than we have, and their comments have been vitriolic. I mean, it has been reminiscent of the political division that we have here in the United States between red and blue, and it's sickening. It's disturbing, and I hurt for that. I think that is not what this club represents. And the blame is very, very simple. The blame is on Mauro Icardi. The blame is on Luciano Spalletti. The blame is on the club, and the blame is on we, the media, who continue to perpetuate and give headlines to this ridiculous drama.
Yes,
and it's our fault. And some people have asked me, well, you know, Matt, why don't you cover it anymore? And the reason is very simple. First off, there's only so many ways you can tell this story that doesn't just become sickening and repetitive. So I find it better to focus my attention and the attention of this community on other things related to the club, because there's plenty of other things to talk about. Absolutely. This just happens to be the one that dominates the headlines, not only in Italy, but in England and in Sweden and in anywhere that has an Inter Milan following, an Inter Milan site, anything like that. This has been the dominant thing, whether it's rehashing quotes from Italian media from players who aren't even playing anymore, on what they think of the situation, which to me, I honestly don't care. Great. I mean, it should have been handled this way. Thank you for the comment that is spurred into five paragraphs that exactly. I don't really make a difference to me. I really don't care about that. And that's just me. That's just my personality and how I look at things. But what it has done is it has turned this community, the Inter Milan community as a whole, not the Serpents community, but the entire community as a whole, it has turned it on its heel, and it has made us battle each other over what we think is right. And opinions are great, and I am a big proponent of everyone expressing your opinion and saying what you think and being open and honest about it. I'm a huge proponent of that. I've been that way since I was a journalist, and I will always be that way. However, when one side calls another side stupid for not believing that this is the way things should be done, that's when we have a problem. That's when we have developed a situation that we should not have to endure. And you know, you've got over the weekend after the Lazio match, what Spalletti said when he rattled off about 20 lawyers and this, that, and the other. I mean, come on, man. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? What, are you eight? Is this a middle school playground? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is just pathetic. It is absolutely sad that we have dwindled our season down to these two yokels who have nothing better to do but than to fire shots back and forth at each other. And whether it's Icardi not doing it directly, but he's doing it through his wife, and Spalletti doing it outwardly, I don't care. The fact is this has become a consummate part of our discussion on a daily basis, and it quite honestly sickens me. It infuriates me as a fan. It infuriates me as a member of the Inter community. And quite honestly, I'm tired of it. I have reached my end. I have reached the end of where of my tolerance of this. To me, Icardi is out at the end of the year. Spalletti is out at the end of the year. If for no other reason than the fact that you carry on this dramatic BS that has no business in being aired out in the public. None whatsoever. The way that these two people have acted is deplorable and is disgusting, and it just says more about their attention to the name on the back of the shirt as opposed to the attention being focused on the name on the front of the shirt. Exactly. And that, to me as a fan, is disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. And I've had enough. I'm done. I've had enough of it. These two should both be gone. I don't care if no other player goes. I don't care if Ivan Perisic stays. I don't care if Cedric Suarez stays. I don't care. At this point, so long as Mauro Icardi is out and playing somewhere else, and as long as Luciano Spalletti is managing in Serie C somewhere, I don't care. Those are the only two stipulations I have at this point for this club.
Bravo.
It's time to be done with it. It's time to wash our hands of it. We are in the midst of a Champions League battle. We are in the midst of trying to qualify for the world's pinnacle in terms of football tournaments. We are in the, and by our position is by no means secure. I mean, thank you, Sassuolo, for your help this weekend, but we didn't do ourselves any favors by dropping 3 points to Lazio.
Exactly.
So we are by no means safe. Our position is by no means secure. And we've got eight points differentiating between Inter Milan in third and Torino in ninth.
Exactly.
So you mean to tell me that we should be feeling secure about ourselves right now? Absolutely not. Our attention should be focused on each match as they come and go. Our attention now should be on Genoa. Hands down, it should be on getting 3 points, going on the road, beating Genoa, and taking care of business. Not this garbage between Icardi and Spalletti and the club and all that. Where's Steven Zhang? Get back from China and settle this. Be done. Say, look, I'm not having any more of this. You are the president of this club. It is your job to come in and say, look, I have had enough. I have had enough of this. I am paying you money. You either play or you're out. Spalletti, you either focus on the pitch and improve your tactics or get out. We'll find a caretaker manager at this point. I really don't care. And Lautaro Martinez can come back when he's healthy, or we'll play with Keita Balde as a center. I don't care. It needs to be done. It needs to be finished. And Steven Zhang and Jindong Zhang need to come in and say, look, this is enough. This is hurting our business. If you want to circle back to a conversation we had before the break about business and how you operate and how you generate profits and how you operate a club smartly, then what's going on right now is far from it. What is going on now is only generating stupid headlines across Italian media and everywhere else, and it's making us look silly. And this is not the Inter club from the 90s, from the early 2000s that dominated, that was a force to be reckoned with. This is not the treble team that put the fear in the boots of anyone they played. I don't care if you were Juventus, if you were Napoli, if you were Lazio, if you were Empoli, I don't care who you were. You feared the day you had to take on Inter Milan. You yes. absolutely feared it. You were beaten before the match because you were so scared about having to play them. And now we're not even close to that. Now we're a laughingstock. The daily headlines are sickening. They are disturbing, and it's something new every day. Wanda Nara goes back on Tiki Taka and has to make a big thing. Shut up. Be done. Stop. You are not doing anyone any favors, least of all your product, a.k.a. your husband. Because if you think for 1 minute that anyone's going to come in and swoop and pay 100 million euro for Mario Icardi at this point, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
You are out of your mind. Real Madrid may come in and say, yeah, how about 35 million. We might give you that because that's what he's worth. That's what he's worth right now.
Imagine, Matt, in a perfect world, imagine if Spalletti went out, because he likes to talk in the media. If Spalletti goes out and say, you know what, I take my full responsibility for my part of this problem, and I will apologize to everyone for this, and I will move forward.
I would love him for it. I would love him for it. I would respect him. And I would love him for it.
And Icardi goes out to his, on his platforms and says exactly the same thing. Imagine what will happen then. You know what? I've been sitting here for a couple of minutes now and just listening to you talk about this. And all I've done is actually nod my head. And, you know, nobody actually gains something from this. Everybody actually loses from this, because Icardi hasn't gained anything. Spalletti has definitely not gained anything. He actually lost. Like, if he took one step forward, he probably took like 40 steps back.
If he focuses as much attention on his gameplay and his style as he did on what comments he's going to make to Sky Italia or to anyone else, can you imagine? I mean, if he focused that much attention on that, to me, that just tells me that he's more focused on these outside situations than he is on the game. And my thought is that's not what you're paid for. You're not paid to be a spokesperson. You're paid to manage a team. You're paid to put the best product on the field that you possibly can with the best 11 players you have at your disposal and using your subs as you see fit. That's your job. Your job is not to come out and lamblast your striker and talk about 20 lawyers and Wanda Nara and all the – leave that to us. Leave that to us, the so-called pundits of Italian football and of Inter Milan. We'll talk about that. That's what we can do. That's not your job. Mauro Icardi, your job is not to be a petulant little schoolboy hurt over hurt over the fact that you lost the captain's armband for good reason.
Exactly.
Your job is to get yourself back on the pitch and play like a player. Play like a world-class player that you think you are. If that's what you think you are, then you need to show it, and you're not. And to me, neither one of them are acting to the level of which they should be, and they both should be gone. They're not representative of Inter Milan football by any stretch. And if you're not representative of it, get out. Be done. I would much rather suffer through an injury-prone Rafinha Alcantara, because that guy loved wearing the shirt. That guy loved coming out on the pitch day in and day out and representing the crest. Matteo Politano, no different. He wants to be redeemed. He does not want to go back to where he is because he loves playing for Inter. That's the kind of thing I want to see. I don't care if you're worth 100 million or if you're worth 1 million. That is the kind of character I want to see. I want to see the emotion of Milan Skriniar. You know, he's a $4 to $5 million a year player, and he should be paid that way. If for nothing else, the fact that he respects the crest on the front of the shirt more than he does the name on the back. And he plays like it. He plays with emotion. He plays with intensity. He plays fired up. I can forgive bad games. I can forgive bad matches.
Absolutely.
For players that show that kind of heart. I will take that kind of heart.
Everybody has bad games. Everybody has bad games. It's normal. It's nothing to be like. People get so caught up in this. You know, he had a very, very bad game, and they go on a rant, and you know, they blame everybody, plays the blame game. You know, everybody has bad games. That's not the problem. It's like you said. The problem is, you know, everybody is like acting like small children. Nobody takes responsibility. Like, everybody's running around on media and telling people this stuff. Like, it's even worse than when I went to middle school. Even then, like, we had some type of honor, like, in the schoolyard. Like, we kept it between us guys. Like, even
these... And then after you settled it, it was done.
Yeah.
That was it. You moved on.
You moved on.
And here's something else. I heard this somewhere. This was many, many years ago, and it could have been from a movie. It could have been from news. I don't even remember. But back in the 80s and even into the 90s, it was a comparison between Japanese business and American business. And back in this time, the Japanese businesses were just killing it. They were expanding. They were paying their employees. They were doing all the things right and making their business successful. And someone asked an expert. I don't even know who it was or what it was. And like I said, it could have been a movie for all I know. I was young at the time. But someone asked, you know, why are the Japanese so much better at business than Americans? And the person responded and said something that has stuck with me to this day. And that is, one thing the Japanese business owners do that American business owners don't do is, when there's a problem, they don't point fingers. They don't play the blame game. They focus on the solution, not the source of the problem. And that is why, whereas American business, it's always about, well, it's that person's fault, it's that person's fault, it's that person's fault, it's this person's fault. And instead of spending that time focusing on trying to find a solution and making things better, they're spending more time pointing fingers. And that's exactly what we see here with Inter, is that now you have a club that's busy pointing fingers at each other, or at least two components of the team pointing fingers at each other. Unfortunately, those two components happen to be the driving forces of this team, and are creating havoc for everyone involved.
Exactly.
But the reason why some teams are more successful in the face of adversity as opposed to others is because the teams that are more successful are focusing much more on how to fix the problem and not on pointing fingers on whose fault it is. And I'm at the point now, I don't care whose fault it is. I don't care if it's Mauro Icardi's fault. I don't care if it's Wanda Nara's fault. I don't care if it's Luciano Spalletti's fault. I don't care if it's Steven Zhang's fault. I don't care. I really don't care. The protagonists of this whole thing are very simple. There's three of them. There's Luciano Spalletti, there's Mauro Icardi, and there's Wanda Nara. All three of them need to go. End of story. And if Steven Zhang wants to assert himself as a dominant owner, not only in Serie A football, but in European football, he gets himself on a plane, flies back from China, comes to Milan, and the first thing he does is fall down and says, that's it, no more. You comment to the media one more time, I will sanction you, I will fine you, and then I will fire you. That's how a business is run. That's how a business does it. When you have people that are not handling themselves in the best interest of the club or the business, you sit them down, you give them a warning. this is what you're doing wrong. This is what you're not supposed to do again. And if you do it again, I'm going to fire you. You're out. You're out of a job. No more paycheck. No more nothing. And that's what Steven Zhang needs to come in and do. Or either that or Beppe Marotta or who. I don't care who. I'll do it. I will catch a flight to Milan. I'll do it in really poor Italian. Or I'll just do it in English, and I'm sure they'll get the point across.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is that that's what a CEO, that's what a president of a company does. You worry about the shares, you worry about all that. Yeah, you worry about that. But when you have dysfunctional components of your business that are affecting the entire model, together, then you sit those components down. You say, look, here's how we're going to fix it. You're going to shut up. You're going to play, and you're going to shut up, or you're all gone. Matt, and I'm not going to wait till summer to do it. You're out now.
Matt, do you know what this reminds me of? Do you watch The Newsroom, that series that is on television, or you used to be?
I
remember a scene where there was sitting, I think it was a bunch of college students in the room.
Yeah, America's not the greatest country anymore.
Yeah, and the last thing he said was that, you know, the first solution to solving any problem is to actually acknowledge that there is a problem. And that statement is so real in this case. Like, you know, nobody like takes the responsibility. Everybody just wants to cover their own behind. So like everybody plays the blame game. No, you know, he can't play because he has done such and such, and he doesn't train good, or, you know, he was called up and didn't come, and the other one says that, well, I have a knee injury, but you don't, and well, I don't have the captaincy, and so on.
I don't care. Fix it.
Exactly.
Fix it.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear about it. I don't care if Raja Nangalan shows up to training late. I don't need to hear about that. The fact of the matter is he didn't play. He was suspended, and now he's going to fix it. That's it. That's all I care about. That's all I care about. If Mauro Icardi's not going to play because of a knee injury, great, fix it. I don't care about his training habits. I don't care about any of that. That stuff is, number one, it's not newsworthy at all. It's just not. I mean, because most fans, it's fodder for about 5 minutes.
Then it's gone.
When it comes right down to it, it's about what are we doing on the pitch? What are we doing on Saturdays, Sundays, and Wednesdays that matter? That's what fans want to know about. That's what we're going to talk about. And anything beyond that is just drama.
Yep.
And that's all it is. And you know, with Raja Nangalan and his antics with Roma, Roma didn't come out and say, oh, well, Nangalan's an alcoholic party animal and he's a loser. They didn't come out and say that. They
said, okay,
he's suspended. That's it. He's suspended for violating club policy.
That's it.
And then he fixed it. Then he fixed it and he got transferred. End of story. Done.
And he came to Inter and everything just lashes out.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
But to me, I guess I'll close in using The Newsroom as a piggyback here, in that Inter is not the greatest club in Italy anymore. And it certainly is not the greatest club in Europe anymore in terms of its on-pitch performance.
Exactly. That is
now, to me, Inter will always be the best club in Europe. It will always be the best club in the world.
Yep.
But as far as the pitch is concerned, we're not.
No.
However, we certainly can be.
Yeah. We have been.
And it's going to take steps to do it. And it's going to take steps more immediate than waiting till the summer to make that happen. And if it doesn't happen, then I feel sorry for the fans. I feel sorry for us, because we'll have to continue to endure this mindless garbage day in and day out. And eventually it's going to come to a point where fans are going to be tired of it. And fans are going to stop watching. They'll still be fans, but they're going to stop. They're going to stop watching. They're going to stop reading. They're going to stop looking at the headlines because it's tiresome. And something needs to be done now. And that was my second rant, if you will.
Awesome.
You know, I do want to touch very, very briefly on Genoa. The match coming up on Wednesday, Inter needs to rebound. And there's no question about that right now. If I look at the standings, Genoa is an 11th, on 33 points, not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. But again, I always hesitate to say this is a team that Inter should beat because, well, Lazio was a team that Inter should have beaten and they didn't. But Inter needs the win. They are 2 points up on Milan in third. Lazio and Atalanta are both in fifth and sixth respectively on 48 points. Roma on 47. Then you have Sampdoria and Torino on 45 points in eighth and ninth respectively. So you've got a very, very tight race for these last two Champions League spots. And like I said at the open, our position is not secure by any stretch of the imagination, because a two-game slip-up and a nice run by a team like Atalanta or Sampdoria, and this the whole complexity changes. There are 8 points separating third from ninth, and there's still plenty of matches to go. And if you think that Inter is secure, you're kidding yourself. So without getting into too much technical, about it, Genoa, just to say that their goal differential is actually horrible for the position they sit in. Their goal differential is minus 10 and they're in 11th. If that doesn't tell you anything about the state of Serie A football right now, I don't know what does. their offense, a whopping 34 goals. They've given up 44. Honestly, I haven't done enough research to tell you who's in or out. I think Lautaro Martinez is likely out for the match. I think Stefan De Vrij is questionable. Theoretically, Mauro Icardi is supposed to be back, but who knows? I'm not counting my chickens before they're hatched with that. So we could very well come out with the same setup we did against Lazio and have Keita Balde come in and run things from the point, which, I love Keita Balde. I love the kid. I really do. I think he's got a lot of spirit and he's got a lot of heart. But when you put him, you're not setting him up for success when you put him in a position he doesn't normally play.
That's the thing. One of these days he's actually gonna it's gonna get unlocked for him and he's gonna start scoring. Just watch and see. Are you sure about Lautaro Martinez that he's not gonna play?
I'm not. I just the latest I've seen is that he's questionable and probably doubtful. But then again, things could change. I mean, it's 2 days before the match. Anything's possible. I mean, they may reevaluate him tomorrow and say he's good to go. Who knows? I don't know. It could be the same for Stefan De Vrij. I think he's like, well, he's good to go. He's fine. I'm less concerned about our defense than I am about our offense anyway. So,
exactly.
And flip a coin as far as the central midfield is concerned, because I have no idea what Spalletti's going to roll out. I don't know if it's going to be a strong midfield like it can be, or if it's going to be a lame midfield like it has been. I have no idea. I don't know what he's going to do. I would like to say it's Vecino, possibly João Mário, and Marcelo Brozovic in the center, but Nainggolan coming on as a sub, or vice versa with João Mário. But I don't know. Who knows? But that match is coming up, I believe, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. And then following that, I'm looking at the schedule real quick. That is match day 30. Match day 31 will be on Sunday.
Yes.
When Inter will be back at home. They'll take on Atalanta, which will be another huge match for the Nerazzurri. That'll be a noon Eastern kickoff on Sunday. And then if you're planning ahead, and I know some people have asked me to do it, so I will. Match day 32 is will be following that on Sunday the 14th. Inter will travel to the depths of who knows what when they take on the powerhouse that is Frosinone at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time on the 14th. So we've got Genoa on Wednesday at 2:30, and then following that we'll have a Sunday matchup with Atalanta at noon on Sunday the 7th. And then the next match after that will be Frosinone on Sunday the 14th at Frosinone. Kickoff will be at 2:30. Just in case you're wondering, Lazio does have a game in hand. They will play that match against Udinese at home on the 17th. Then everything will be all caught up, and we'll have a much better picture as to where things stand. But Lazio is in fifth with a game in hand, so that is one thing to bear in mind. And then Inter will enter their the death throes of their season when they will host Roma on the 20th, Juventus on the 27th, and then they will have Udinese on the 5th of May, and then they close things out with Chievo on the 12th, and then they'll have Napoli on the 19th, and the final game of the season will be Empoli on the 26th. So that is a look ahead of what we have in terms of schedule. I'm going to leave it at that. I know we didn't get into a whole lot in terms of Genoa, and I apologize for that. But we will have a preview up hopefully tomorrow evening, Tuesday evening, on serpentsofmatadena.com. Sam, any last, real briefly, a few seconds, any parting wisdom for the listeners today?
Yes, we're going to win against Genoa. Icardi will be back soon, and he will score, and everything will be forgotten. Just watch and see.
I love your optimism. That is phenomenal. So, again, I'm Matt Clark. He is Sam Poor, and this is the Serpents of Inter podcast for up-to-date news and information that may not include Mauro Icardi and Luciano Spalletti going back and forth with each other. Make sure you log in to serpentsofmatadena.com. You can check out this podcast. You can listen to it on Google, on iTunes, on Spotify, and on Stitcher. By all means, listen, leave us a comment. We'd be more than happy to see what everyone has to say. Absolutely. And if there's something you want us to talk about, leave us a note. We've got some great things coming up, in terms of other things we're going to be pushing out. I will tease them just a little bit. We're going to have a vlog, that will come, a video blog that may be coming out here soon. So look forward to that. A mini podcast, which will be about 4 or 5 minutes, that we may be releasing here as well. So many more things on the horizon for Serpents of Matadena and the Serpents of Inter podcast. So Sam, thanks for joining, and we'll look forward to talking with you here very, very soon. And Forza Inter.
Forza Inter.
Gioco di gambe, guadagna al fondo, il cross, e gol, 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 Dambro, Dambro, Dambro. Palla ancora dentro l'area di rigore, c'è un mischione, Nainggolan, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol, il Ninja, il Ninja, tap, 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 al 32.
The Serpents of Inter podcast is brought to you on the SB Nation Network. For more information and to check out all Inter Milan news all the time, make sure to log on to serpentsofmatadena.com.